Welcome back to the Anything But Quiet Time podcast. This is a big week as we're actually going to transition to a Christmas series next week.
I'm very excited. We've done this the last couple of years.
I didn't know there would be movies left, but we're going to see Jesus in popular Christmas movies.
And we may repeat one of the ones before because I think we're going to have more fun now that it's YouTube.
That's right.
Potentially.
Oh, man. Yeah. So look forward to that next week. And of course, keep in mind the Scrooge podcast.
Yes.
Scrooge, A Christmas Carol podcast is already out. You can text the word Scrooge to the number 67101. It's a four-part series that is such a great redemptive story. And we'll try to redeem this section of the show where we see Rochelle's cheesy Christian shirts.
This one's great.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Oh, I think Gen Z's going to like this.
This says he is
Risen. It's R-I-Z-Z-E-N.
And it's a picture of Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And this is actually my son's shirt.
Okay.
Because I got it one friend, I asked, I said, would you guys wear this?
If I got you this.
Now, we should probably explain Riz, or if you've got teenagers, you might already know, or if you're younger,
It's
slang for charisma. It's Riz. And so my boys often taunt one another. Man, you have zero Riz. And finally, I gave up. What are you saying? What does this mean? But it's like drop the mic. That person's got something special happening.
Oh, well, then that would be true.
And Jesus definitely does.
And what a cool way for them to wear the shirt to school.
Yes.
And
people comment.
And you thought that you could get away with wearing this.
I want to go back for a second. Okay. Then you can make fun of me
all right.
Because I know exactly where you're going. I see right through you, Price.
Okay.
So, one of my kids, I was like, so what did they say? Anybody say anything? And they've got all kinds of shirts from Star Wars to whatever, you know? And most of them are very clever. We try to be not super cheesy.
Yeah, yeah.
And so anybody say anything? And most of the time they don't. But when they wear this shirt, Caleb, my youngest, people were like, hey, man, I really like your shirt.
Oh, cool.
So that's kind of cool because not only does it remind people that Jesus has risen.
Yeah.
It's a fun play on words, but it also gives Caleb an understanding of that person, maybe a friend that I could talk to a little bit later on, not like wondering, hey, do I need to have a conversation with him about my faith that's like more guarded in terms of like I want to make sure that I'm being respectful.
It seems they'd be open to it.
Yeah,
it's a conversation starter too. No, that's good.
And so for my oldest, he walked into his AP honors Spanish class. Now, I bring up AP honors. This is a terrible stereotype, but I was never in an AP class.
Really?
I was never in an honors class.
I'm shocked.
Class clown. Between the two of us, I think most people think that Carter would be the one that would be goofing off, and I was the one.
And I did, too.
No,
I did goof off.
You got decent grades.
But
did you ever get detention?
Yes, I did.
How many times?
A couple of times.
I beat him.
Okay.
So anyway, that's how we did it compare. But I never took an AP course. Most of my time was either spent doing what I thought I was going to do, which was theater, and that's where all my focus is going to be. I don't need to do this other stuff, which has been such a great life lesson to tell my children over and over again. Don't be like mommy.
Uh-huh.
Be like Poppy.
Yeah.
Who did probably what Carter did, except without getting sent to detention.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, all that to say, I think there's a different level of intellectual people in these classes.
Yes, very much so.
And they're very, dedicated. And they might be how some might deem nerdy.
Oh, okay.
You know, because they're intellectual and you get stereotyped for that. Oh, well, a bookworm, whatever.
Sure.
That's a terrible insult, by the way. Nobody says that
anymore. Bookworm.
Good one. Burn. No. So my son goes into the class and he's very excited. And this is my child who has Asperger's, who's literal. And I'm like, are you serious? You would wear that shirt? Yeah. He liked the play on words. And these kids look at him and said, what does this mean?
Oh, so they didn't know.
And he said, well, have you ever heard about Jesus? Jesus, that he's risen from the dead. And they're like, yes. Well, it says, and then my Asperger son just, I think he stopped mid-sentence and was like, I don't think I'm going to get through. And he goes, and he just goes and sits down.
That's great. I mean, that's funny. Right. It's funny. Yeah. They'll come around.
Hey, but a planet is a seed.
Yeah.
Whether or not they ever water it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. That's the key part too. Yeah. So I know you were going to get to something last week and we didn't, we just ran out of time. And so you'll start. And then I have a story from my childhood that we'll get to as well. Lovely. So, yes.
You know, I don't ever want to take myself out of the nerd category. As we know, we've seen me wear Star Wars stuff before.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm going to bring up something Marvel today and something DC Comics.
Wow. Okay.
And I'm going to do it from Psalms.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And I just want to, if you've never watched the original Avengers movie that came out in 2012, then what happened? What happened? Why didn't you watch it? Something has kept you from seeing something that truly was special.
Are you calling people out?
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Because what I'm about to share, I don't want to, you know, it's past the point for spoilers. Am I wrong? It's 2023.
I would think there's a statute of limitations on movie spoilers. Yeah, you can't ruin Casablanca for somebody.
You may be one of those people who's like, Rochelle, there are many reasons why I did not go see that movie. And it's because I'm not a nerd.
It's your type. Your type why I didn't go to that theater.
That's why. So I think you'll appreciate the point that I'm going to make anyway. There's this moment where we see this godlike character named Loki. And I'm not referring at all about the Disney Plus current show that's going on right now where he's kind of become a good guy. I'm referring to Avengers, where this is the bad guy in the movie Avengers.
Yeah.
And he's got a double standard going on because you do see almost some desire to be a good brother and a desire to be a good son, but the double-minded standard he's overthrown with his own evil thoughts. And he's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to Earth, this beloved place that Thor went to, and he thinks something special is happening. Thor is his brother. I'm going to go there, and I'm going to be the ruler because we're godlike creatures, and that's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he does. And there's this one point where we see him. It's in the initial throngs, if you will, of his would-be takeover. And he has now introduced himself to the world, to cameras and everything, makes this very dramatic entrance. And he goes from wearing a normal suit to all of a sudden now he's in this incredible robe-like thing with this giant helmet that looks like a goat head or something. I don't know. These giant horns. I'm describing this painstakingly clear, and I realize as I'm doing it, I sound like Patton Oswalt from Parks and Rec is describing.
Very nerdy stuff, yes.
But my point is there's this incredible picture we're given where this guy who's just done atrocious things and done away with innocent life, we see that he is capable of the worst. And everybody in the crowd sees it too. And they're stunned because they were in the middle of a gala. And now in the middle of the street, just people passing by, all the people from the gala are no longer in the building. They're in the street with the passerby people. And he has made this boundary situation where they cannot leave. And he yells for them to kneel. And they all do. And then he goes on with this speech about, see, you crave subjugation. In fact, you were made to be ruled. In the end, you will all kneel. And I thought that was kind of just, first of all, the words that he said intertwined with some of that. He kind of spieled a little bit about your identity kind of gets lost in your pursuit of freedom. But what you really crave is ruling. Well, Loki ain't wrong.
Mm.
We do crave to be taught. We do crave boundaries. In fact, I've seen children have a better relationship with a person in their life who chooses to be an authoritative type figure than the other adult who gives into everything.
Sure.
Because we crave boundaries. We may not initially think we do, but we do. And they're important to have boundaries. The stove is hot. Don't touch it. If you do, you get hurt. You get burned. So Loki's not wrong, but he's asking for that position of you kneeling before him in worship. And there's this one individual, if you've seen it, it's just incredible. You get chills because this old man, it's in Germany that this is taking place, and this old man who you suspect has seen a lot in the decades of life that he's lived in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And he stands and Loki looks at him. And when Loki has said, in the end, you all will kneel, this man retorts, not to men like you. And Loki said, there is no man like me. And the guy comes back with, there are always men like you. And I got chills just saying it, but I was like, oh, it's so powerful. We know whose we are, and yet I do find myself sometimes in subjugation to things that are not God. Why am I allowing worry to overtake me, anxiety to rush in? These things that the Bible tells me I have some semblance of control over. Now, I do also have a disorder, so my chemicals are out of whack, and just like you take medicine, insulin for diabetes, that I have to keep that in check. But I'm talking about the fear that cannot be controlled because your body is imbalanced. I'm talking about the fear that you've allowed to run away with you.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stuff to be kind of scared of in this world. Am I kneeling to that?
Mm. Yeah.
Because, yes, I'm to kneel, but to kneel to God. And he tells me that in him, I have everything that I need and I don't have to fear. I have love. This comes, though, I was reading out of Psalm, and it started with, I hate the double-minded, which means wavering, undecided. And what is Loki but double-minded? And he immediately made me think of that scene. It says, but I love your law, God. And that man did not allow the fear of that moment with that scene in Loki, that or in the Avengers, to keep him from doing what was right.
Sure.
I'm not bowing to this. And I thought, what a great reminder, what a great visual. I was super excited after I read that psalm. I made my son sit down and be like, look, this is why psalms are exciting to read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we have to do and continue to do is find relatable ways to share with our children. And that may take a little bit of effort on our parts in terms of like, I spat something on that microphone. It's so gross. I'm so sorry if you saw that on YouTube. I just flung it. Okay, we're good. Germex, please.
Yeah.
There's nobody over there. But there are very important things that I think we can look over in a bad way because we're not familiar with the context. And because I've decided to take little pieces of scripture at a time this time, this go around this year, I've been able to kind of do a little bit more research about what did that even mean? Because if you're trying to get through the Bible in a year, which I've done a few times now, you're pretty busy with your quiet time. Mm-hmm. And then obviously you have a schedule to keep. You've got work and everything else. Maybe I don't get to go back, or I planned to, but I forgot. Why are they putting things in there like, oh, woe to me that I sojourn to Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. What?
Mm-hmm, right.
What is that?
Yeah.
Well, then you go back and you find out the context of these places. That was a very barbarous region. A lot of people hated peace in that area. It was viewed as like the place where you'd be banished if you were in that area. Mm. Kedar actually references something from Isaiah and Revelation. It's just fascinating. But because I've given myself a little extra time, I can do that. How can I make that relevant to my children? Well, maybe it's not, Meshech. I could maybe tell them about a barbarous place, but how do you describe to your children or even yourself a barbarous place? Well, there are some pretty barbarous, treacherous places that you can think of even from the news today, right?
Yeah.
That you could reference and say, this is what it would be like if I'm reading this psalm and making it relevant for today.
Sure.
Let it relate to, because the psalmists weren't thinking about, hey, hundreds of years ago, let's think of places that were barbarous. I think God would encourage us in our Holy Spirit venture and reading through his word to change it up a little bit, not changing his word.
Right.
But to change, like, hey, when it says this, I want you to think about this. So that's kind of what I did with the Avengers. And do you have time for one more?
Yeah.
It's the bat signal. The bat. So you want to do your impression? You usually do your impression.
It's very important. I just wanted to say the bat signal is very key to Gotham City.
Is it? Why? Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't a joke. I just believe it in my heart.
You believe it? Yeah. He does a great impression of
Commissioner Gordon. I'm here.
See, Christian Bale had to have one of those voice changey thingies. You do that without the voice change.
Yeah, he had to lose his voice all the time if he was going to do that constantly. So,
my word. Yeah. You don't even need to, I don't know, gargle with gravel. Right? I'm impressed. So Psalm 120 is a very popular psalm, and it talks about I'm thinking about 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But Psalm 120 starts something called a song of ascents, and it goes on for the next 15 psalms. And these were songs that back in the day, they didn't have satellite radio. They didn't have, in our case, Carter and I work at KSBJ Radio. They didn't have KSBJ. They would sing as they would sojourn.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine, as you're traveling, you want to make sure that you get in with the good singers first. It's like, we got to get there early. Why? Mm. Because Jonathan is going to be leading the thing. And you know what happened last time when we were next to
Phil. We got in the back with Phil. And it was horrendous. Yeah,
we couldn't hear anything outside of the grating.
Right. Yeah.
Noise, right?
But it sounded like Carter's Batman impression. Yeah.
So they would sojourn up to the temple. And there were three major festivals. Three major parties that they would go to, one of them being Passover. It's probably the most familiar to all of us. And they would travel and sing these psalms on their way up, which I think is amazing. And in my distress, I called to the Lord. They are sending out a bat signal. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. Mm. And then it goes on to talk about, how we want to make sure that we're doing the good thing. I don't want to be like those people in, and then they talk about the barbarous regions. Mm. And then this is what I felt as I was reading this. There is hypocrisy in my anger against sin at times. There can be. And I find myself angry about people that are being stupid and deceitful. And then I realize, oh, wait, I'm a guilty party.
Sure.
Sometimes too, right? And the only thing, or one, I should say, that can separate me from others who take part in being deceitful and stupid is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a recognition of Jesus in my life. That is it. You can recognize, and I do not ever mean to make a comparison between like Jesus and something on the table, but I can recognize that a phone is sitting there. Did I create the phone? No. Do I have anything to do with this phone other than, I own it and it's there. But you know what I'm saying? It's like you're just recognizing a truth.
Uh-huh.
There's a phone there. I'm recognizing a truth. Doesn't make me better than other people.
Sure.
I recognize that I'm saved by grace because Jesus did a work in me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what is it? Where do I get off? In looking around me, I go, oh, these other barbarous people, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, that really need God. Jesus is what separates me, his cross of redemption. I've accepted his gift. And perhaps, maybe they haven't. Perhaps, maybe I'm angry at another Christian who I think in that moment of frustration, I'm even condemning in that moment of frustration. And there's hypocrisy in that because I'm not supposed to be condemning people.
Yeah.
Not my job.
Yeah, right.
Bible tells, and it's very clear about that. But either way, that I recognize Psalm 120 as a distress signal sent out to God, kind of like a bat signal that's answered by a holy night.
Yes.
Not a dark night.
That's right.
The play on words there.
I got it.
Okay. Do you need me linger on that?
No.
Okay, we're good. We'll move on. But he hears and he sees me. I need to acknowledge my own sin because if he sees me, then he sees that.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to, if I want to grow in him, acknowledge where I'm weak.
Yeah.
And in my weakness, then I see that he can be made strong right there. I can grow in that, right? When I'm confronted by others in their moment, I need to acknowledge my own in that moment. And I need to pray for those that I walk by in life or perhaps know. That stuff is going down over there, and that's not okay. Am I praying about it? We've said this often on our show. If we're talking about it, then we should be praying about it. Do I truly seek out time every day to make that a priority, to pray for that other person, for that situation, for those circumstances? We are not so very different from them. We, in fact, are not different at all. Except Jesus. And it's always a good reminder. Recently there were some comments that were made about discussions that we had on our podcast, and people were very unforgiving even in, after you try to reach out and connect with them and say, would you mind listening to the full context of what we were trying to say? And there was resistance and there was no desire to connect further. And I had to be aware of that in my own life because I do that. In fact, yesterday I was doing that very thing. Carter and I were in discussion and we were talking about something, the very thing that was frustrating to some members of the people who listened to us. And I was like, well, I'm done. I'm not going to do it. I could do it anymore. And it was like a black and white, never again. Well, wait a second. That's not holy. That's not what God's trying to get through to me either. Because then I'm no better than the person who has said, well, I'm not interested in what you have to share. I don't want to know the context. Mm. I'm guilty of the very thing that I'm frustrated about. Well, wait a second. Lord, are you helping me find balance in this life? Are you showing me something about myself that must be frustrating to you, Lord, and possibly to others? So,
yeah, well, when I see any time in the Bible, you just see that the habits of people don't really change.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
You know, and it's just we can sit here and we can because I think we've chatted about this before, how it's like, how on earth did the Israelites that saw the Red Sea part get that way? And man, I know that's a big one. I know that seeing the sea part is a big one, but so often something amazing happens in my life and, you know, a few months, years later.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah. And it's like, I just think that I don't read the Bible with enough like, okay, some time has passed, right? You just think like it's all together in your mind and then you start to see I'm kind of the same way in a lot of this. So,
you know, it is interesting. You brought up the Red Sea and it just made me think about when they went through the Red Sea, it was parted and they walked on dry land, right? And then after wandering in the wilderness for 40 years because they weren't allowed to go in due to the lack of faith that they had, when they finally were allowed to go in, the Jordan River, same thing kind of happens. You know, the water stops flowing and there's something interesting that takes place. They have the 12 tribes each grab a rather large stone and place them one on top of another in the middle of the water or where it will eventually flow again so as to be a reminder of that. They didn't do that with the Red Sea.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that would have been better off for, you know, that whole generation that went through the Red Sea died off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because so quickly they forgot.
Right.
But this is meant to be a reminder when you see these stones stacked on one top of each other, what your God has done for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. By the way, we need to stop the joke. Can we cancel some of these jokes about like the meme where the fish tells the other fish he has his little fish briefcase and he's late for work? And he said, I promise you're not going to believe what happened to me, but it's true. And then the caption says, you know, the day that the Red Sea parted, you know, because he couldn't get to the other side. Yeah,
I have not seen
these Christian memes that you see.
Could it be a t-shirt?
It could be a t-shirt, unfortunately for me.
Yeah.
You see it 10 years ago and then people repost it like, and you're like,
well, it's a new generation.
Haven't we seen this? But it's a new, how easily we forget.
That's a brilliant way to relate forgetting what has happened.
Oh, this is so old. I want to tell a story about what happened to me as a kid. I was making a Pinewood Derby car. Me and my dad had experience with Boy Scouts for this, but this was for Royal Ambassadors through church. Mm-hmm. And we had a dear old man in our church, Lewis Wolf. The first year that we tried to build this thing, it was terrible. My dad and I don't do this stuff. It was not sanded. It was painted crudely. We didn't know you're supposed to put weights in it, so my car was the slowest. But I won most best style because I painted it USA. And so America. So he knew, like, the next time we did it, let's get Lewis Wolf on it because he has all the machines you can imagine in his garage. And so he did these cars for me. And man, I built the testing here at home. It was the fastest car I'd ever had. And I, you know, and that's the thing was I was supposed to be, it wasn't just like having this old man do it for me. I had to go and I had to help him and I had to hand him the tools and I had some sweat equity into this as well.
That's awesome.
And it was just killing it. It was beating every car that there was at my church. But now we're going to go to the state competition.
Did you give it a name?
I don't remember. I remember it was gold. It was beautiful.
Gold lightning.
The curvature. Sure. Okay. Yeah. We'll call it gold lightning just on the spot.
Thor.
All right. And I get to the competition statewide, you know, a couple hundred kids, few hundred kids, whatever it was. And I get there that night and the track is different.
Oh, no.
The track has a little... just a little bump in the middle so that the wheels won't go, it won't go
Come
off the track.
On.
Well, my weight drug on the, and it was the slowest now, you know, it wouldn't even finish the race. So we didn't know what we were going to do. And my dad, you know, as best he can, he just digs into it with his pocket knife and we try to put the weight more up there. And we get to the end of the night and we test it and we're like, okay, well, there's competition tomorrow. Because you had the option to go on Friday night or Saturday.
This is a big deal for you too. How old were you?
Big deal. I was like 11.
Oh yeah, it's a big deal.
Big deal. And so now we know it works. I hope it's as fast, but I know it works. And we get there Saturday morning. We're going to re-register. And my dad said, make sure to wear that sticker from last night. They may need that. And when I walked up there with that sticker in my car, they go, oh, did you race last night? Well, yeah, you raced last night. I'm sorry. That's you can only race once.
Oh, come on.
And my dad tried to explain. They're like, oh, he raced last night. That's it. And
you're a kid.
And that was it.
It's not the Olympics.
And it got so, it was one of the things of just one of those just trips, and you ended up bonding with your dad, right?
Yeah.
But it was one of those trips that was just a failure because this happened, and then we were supposed to do something else in the afternoon and it didn't work out. And then we get to the hotel and they our youth group, or I guess kids group, didn't account for the right amount of rooms. So we were missing one room, and it was like 11 o'clock at night, 3 hours away from home. And my dad goes, you want to just go home? And I was like, yes. Like, we just like, we were in our own car anyway. So let's just pretend none of this ever happened. And it was a great lesson on you make sure to do your part. And whatever happens, you can't worry about.
That's right. That's good.
And that really stunk.
Well,
it really did. But all I can worry about is that we put in the honest time and effort. Of course, we didn't cheat. You know, there's nothing going on. We just did our best, and I couldn't worry about the results. And in that situation, all you're wondering is about the results. But there's been a situation recently in my life where a pastor actually pointed out Jesus. We were just going over Mark 14 last week, where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it's his faithfulness. Not results that he is focusing on the Father's will, because he says, you know, Father, if you can, remove this cup from me. But he chooses God's will, and he is faithful to what that is, even though the results are going to be horrific.
Yeah.
And his pastor pointed out that you think about it, he's just in this garden, and he knows what's about to happen. He could have just walked down the mountain and just gone on. He could have gone back up to Galilee. He could have moved to a different country. He could have just not done it. That's kind of surreal to think about. That it literally just a walk the other way 5 minutes before Judas shows up with the gang.
Unfortunately, there's a movie depicting that. And I say unfortunately, I've never seen it, but it was something that I believe Scorsese did.
What if Jesus didn't do it?
The Last Temptation of Christ.
Interesting.
And he was tempted away from the cross, and it pictures him walking away.
Interesting.
And
I did not know that.
A lot of controversy about that film when it came out. Now, I've never seen it.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, at least Scorsese, and I know a lot of people have been like, really? Because there's a lot of language usually in his movies, but he says that he's a believer.
Okay.
And I think he was trying to depict, this is what I gather.
Yeah.
What it would have been like.
Sure.
Had there been all of these things, he had allowed the world to tempt him in the different ways of, like, even having a relationship with Mary Magdalene, all this.
Oh, so wow.
It was very, very controversial when it came out.
I think it would be. I probably wouldn't. If I'm sitting next to Sir Scorsese when he wants to make that, I probably wouldn't be a part of it.
I'd be like, dude, I think you're on your own this way.
But I think that point is interesting of, because what does that mean for us? I mean, that's our only hope.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just to like reflect that he didn't have to, and he did. He chose the Father's will. And I got to share that with somebody recently, that it's faithfulness what we're called to, not results, because that pastor shared that in that study. And it was a situation where a friend of mine confronted a friend of his. And this wasn't just like a, I'm going to talk to him about something. Like it was, he was going to set some boundaries. It was prayed about. It was discussed with wise counsel and other friends. Mm-hmm. And then he does it. Mm-hmm. And his friend is not receptive and is now distanced himself. Mm. And it's just like, man, I really thought sometimes what you think God has for you, and then it just doesn't work out the way that you even thought God was going to work it out for you. And it's just that reminder that faithfulness is what we're called to, not results. And the encouragement I got from the pastor I heard share this was, so if you're a mom and not living a fancy life, but you are being such a great example and loving to your children, if you are a blue-collar worker that thought management might be a possibility, but it's never gotten there, is this it? But you're faithful into what you do, as well as certainly even more important, the relationships around you and being a light and being kind. It's about faithfulness. And so let me encourage you with that, that if you feel like it's a dead end, but you are following the teachings of Jesus, you're right in the right spot.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean it doesn't stink sometimes.
Yeah.
But that's this world.
Yeah. And that's a bitter pill to swallow.
Yeah.
You think about the faithfulness of the disciples.
Yeah.
They were faithful.
Yeah.
They were there at every turn. Now, they made mistakes, and they're like, they thought things were going to work out probably differently, some of them, and this isn't what we thought it would be like, and certainly wasn't what they thought it would be like when Jesus did say, not your will, but my will be, not my will, but your will be done, Lord, and he went to the cross for us, right? Yeah. That wasn't what is happening. I mean, that was a normal night for any of them. Any normal Passover night, guys, is what we're going to do. It's kind of interesting, Jesus changed up some of the words in the ritual. Huh, that was different. And he washed our feet. That was uncomfortable. But Jesus is always kind of doing things that we don't
stretch
fully
you.
Understand.
Right, yeah.
And then he mentioned something about betrayal, but we were drinking wine. I mean, what were they thinking? Mm-hmm. And we're going to do what we usually do. We ate a lot of good food, and we're going to go to sleep, wake up in the morning. That's not what happened at all. And I'm pretty sure, just like your friend, I did the thing that I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And the result was not what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
There's a song right now by Lauren Daigle, Say What You Want About the Song. I was kind of confused the first time I heard about it. These Are the Days. Mm-hmm. And it goes on to say, if it's not good, it's not over. Mm. Because why is that a true statement? Well, because all things work together for good. And it's true. There are definitely going to be things in this lifetime that we will not be aware as being good.
Yeah.
It'll probably take a different heavenly perspective.
Sure.
Now, if we allow the Lord to really just overtake that perspective, I mean, we were talking just, I think it was yesterday, you said we're going to speak with a woman who literally stood up in the courtroom and forgave the murderer of her child.
It, I hope we get to talk to her. It's all I've seen, but it is a fascinating story, and that he has, I think, even come to Christ because of it, or at least is open to it. You know, this is a guy that murdered her daughter, and she's standing there in the courtroom saying, I forgive you.
What if she never saw any change in him before she passed? Mm-hmm. Is it enough?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe, but the thing is, and we could do maybe all day long, but what if somebody else in that courtroom saw what she did and that changed their life?
Yeah. Yeah.
Any and all things can be connected because God has worked it all together for good somehow for those who love him and are called according to his purpose.
Thank you for your time. It's always great conversation with the Anything But Quiet Time podcast. Yeah. Of course, those things that we're so excited about with Scrooge, A Christmas Carol podcast is out. You can text the word Scrooge to 67101. And the next week,
and we're going to have so much fun with our Christmas now. We talked about it earlier. Couple of years we've done this, finding Jesus in your favorite Christmas movies. And I mean, we've done it with if you could do it with National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, and we did.
And we did. We did. You can find that. Of course, we just started doing YouTube this year, so you can find that on Apple or Spotify with the Anything But Quiet Time podcast. But this year, it's going to be even more fun. And I am so surprised we're not out of movies yet. But it's going to be some great stuff next week on the Anything But Quiet Time podcast.